This morning we are in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call nations that you know not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Reading this passage, I just came I call it a bullet thought. I remember when I was in seminary, we studied different theological and biblical theories on the book of Isaiah. There's one school of thought says there are three Isaiahs. Instead, here there's Isaiah chapters 1 through 40. And then 41 through 55 is called Deutero-Isaiah. And the last is 56 through 66 is called Trito-Isaiah. He sounds like a chewing gum, doesn't it? But anyway, the three theories there have been around for about 175 years or long, probably even longer than that. Notable British Presbyterian G. Campbell Morgan was scheduled to preach at the Baptist Tabernacle in London one time. Now, that was the church of the famous pulpiteer, Dr. Charles Spurgeon. Well, one of Spurgeon's deacons came to him one day and said, Dr. Spurgeon, you realize that Dr. Morgan believes in the three Isaiahs, don't you? And Spurgeon looked up from his desk with a cigar in his mouth, by the way, and he looked up, raised his eyebrow, he said, I'm not worried because most people don't even know there's one Isaiah. So, I'm not too worried. I don't lose any sleep over those theories. If it is, it is. Who knows? What counts is what the message says. We have all heard about those, and probably been, you've heard those carnival barkers, they call them that, at the fair, trying to drum up business so that for 10 shots a dollar, some of the finest prizes await the contestants. The point is to lure people to participate, but the outcome is to ultimately separate us from our hard-earned money by creating a need that we didn't realize was there in the first place. How many have been to a car lot lately? Salespeople come running out like you're a fox in a fox hunt, right? I've been tempted to go to Camper World to see about looking at the price of campers, but I just don't want to be hounded to death by some salesperson who's going to try to ambush me. So I said, I'm staying away. I might wear a disguise when I go and use a fake name or something like that. But make a long story short, we all dread harassment in that way. Well, carnival barkers are similar. They kind of like to pull us to the side and say, hey, put that hard-earned money down and you'll win a prize. And most of the time, it's nothing but something cheap from China like that. And so the underlying message is attitude wrapped up in selfishness. You look at this passage and you see a little bit of sometimes where we go in our faith walk and how sometimes it gets almost to the point to where our relationship to God becomes almost a format and wrapped up in some way of legalism. This summary of the Isaiah 55 passage, however, if you look a little further, is about peace and joy. Those are the two most elusive things I think we human beings try to attain for, and sometimes we miss the mark. But if we look closer at it, it can happen and it will happen. You know, it sounds simple here in this passage, but the children of Israel, the Jews at the time, had lost that peace and joy. Isaiah was trying to encourage them in that regard. It may, you know, like that modern life, if you know, if you stay so busy, and you know, you may be retired. You know, I've talked to retired people who said they were busier now than they were when they had a job. So, you know, don't throw the towel in too early there. You'll regret it by getting out of breath suddenly. But very truthfully, we can somewhat get so caught up in busy work, we neglect the most important, and it's nurturing our faith. Some people say, well, I just don't feel like praying today. Well, some of us don't. Some say, well, I haven't touched the Bible in a long time. I'll get around to it one of these days. Well, those days probably won't come around for a long time, but we have to commit ourselves to doing that. But time, a lot of times, is so precious. 24 hours in a day, 5 minutes out of that day, surely we could set aside time, a few moments with the Lord. But, you know, this modern life and hurried state that we live in passes us so quickly. You know, occasionally we need to look more seriously at Christ's command to love our neighbors as ourselves. But the focus is normally on the neighbor segment. And the ourselves, you unfortunately, gets neglected. We reach out to those, but what about our own? You know, we run off the reservation, but we tend to forget to nurture that faith that is ours. You know, it's important to love ourselves correctly. Then we're going to love others properly. Now, listen very carefully. It's not talking about standing in front of a mirror and facially mimicking mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? That's not what it's all about. It reflects how much in love we are with ourselves. You said, boy, that is selfish, selfish, selfish. Well, now, there's an ordered plan to be considered. Being Presbyterian, we like things to be decently and in order. So there is an ordered plan to all this. Now, if self-love is submissive, now that's a bad word today, being submissive, isn't it? But if it's submissive to our love for God, it will keep us from becoming selfish and egotistical with an attitude. How many of y'all met a person this past week with an attitude? Oh, confession, confession. We know, yes. And don't you just love those people with an attitude? It's difficult to love them, isn't it? Some people more. You have to work at it a little bit in that regard. So this self-love thing, we have to submit it before God. Now, selfishness may involve some immediate benefit, pleasure, satisfaction, but at the risk of a possible headache or a new set of problems. There are some people are so full of themselves, they don't see the hurt around them, the needs around them. They don't even in their own families, they neglect their families. Not intentional, probably, but it builds up that way. But there's something always lurking out there, and that is temptation. Temptation is always looking out there. We all have specific desires that make it more tempting to play on our weaknesses. Temptation smokes out those flaws. Think about that. Temptation does. Now, am I saying temptation is a sin? No. It's following through with it makes it a sin. But temptation is that we're all susceptible. And by the way, because you reach a certain age doesn't mean you overcome temptation, is it? I mean, we'll say, oh, I stopped getting tempted at 34. I don't think so, because I'm sure you can be 104 and still be tempted. There's just the thing that is why we need to get our priorities in line, our spiritual priorities, and that is to be submissive to God in our love. We have to be careful because it can come around us in so many ways. I was talking to a young minister a few weeks ago, and he said, oh, I will never cheat on my wife. I will never do this and do that. And I said, remember this, that never can become arrogant. You better be careful. Pride goeth before the fall. Because sometimes we can set ourselves up for something. And when we least expect it, we get sideswiped. I call that a hit and run incident. Because a lot of times we don't expect it. But it can happen and pop up. So when it comes to temptation, none of us are smarter than the average bear, are we? If we step outside of God's pleasure to get our needs and desires met, we are going to pick up a lot more than we bargained. Doing wrong always comes with compounded interest, and the price paid may last longer than the enjoyment received. And there are countless victims due to the indiscretions of others. But let me put a caution, let me put a fence around this. Don't go looking at other people's temptations. Don't start looking at them, because guess what? You're going to set yourself up as judge. None of us have the right to judge others. Remember that. We can judge ourselves, but most of the time we don't, because we think we're perfect. But in that regard, we have to look in a spiritual inventory. You know, that's a difficult thing to do, a spiritual inventory, because we start thinking, well, I've not done this lately. You know, it doesn't matter. Pleasing God is the ultimate. You don't have to make a list if you don't want to. But pleasing God, and you know if you're not pleasing God, it's left up. You don't even have to come to the preacher and talk to the preacher about it. You can go straight to God and talk to God. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? That we can go straight to God and talk to God about all things there. But as I said, doing wrong always comes with compounded interest. There are those victims out there, and we don't know what a domino effect it may have. 1954, there was a country western song. Yes, I listen to country western every now and then. I like Bach, too, so don't worry. I'm so eclectic in my music taste, I'm going to commit myself one day. But there's a song called Ashes of Love. It was by a duo named Johnny and Jack. They were real big in the 1950s in the Grand Ole Opry. And the song Ashes of Love, the lyrics go like this. I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to torture you all this morning. Ashes of love, cold as ice, you made the debt and I paid the price. Isn't that the truth? How many of us are recipients of those who have made the debt and we have to pay the price on it? It happens all the time. But so much of that selfish attitude toward temptation involves taking a shortcut to attain the forbidden. Some shortcuts are far more dangerous than others. And those that temporary quick fix is not going to be worth it in the long run. Don't look at what is gained, but evaluate how much it cost in losses. Because sometimes those shortcuts, like I said, can be dangerous. I always remember when I was in language school in Brazil, so in Portuguese. I was in the city of Campinas. Wonderful language school, Presbyterian operated and all that. And I had my Fiat station wagon driving around, and there was a place, a store, it's like Walmart called K4. It's owned by a French company, and it's a Walmart. It's just everything there. And it was really nice, and I'd go over there, you know, and do shopping. But the trouble about it is, in Campinas, Brazil, the roads are like spaghetti noodles. They'll go one day, there'll be traffic, we go one direction, next day they'll change it, and revert it back one way, two way, one, and it's crazy. Well, next to the K4 was a favela. Now, favelas are slums, and not always the most pleasant place. But let me tell you, I was a member of a church there that was in a favela, at one borderlined it. But this was not a bad favela. But the one next to K4 wasn't the best, had the best reputation. And guess what? Taking shortcuts, guess where I ended up one night? I ended up driving through that favela. But that would have been okay. But I ended up doing it three times before it was over with. I couldn't find my way out. I said, I think I've seen that shack before. So shortcuts, you better be careful. Because sometimes they're not worth it. But I still make shortcuts if I can. If I see a shortcut, I'll take it. But you have to be very careful and discerning about it. Well, the good news, and I'm going to get back to the subject of egotism. is that it can be defeated if we submit our iron will to God. You know, it says here, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither your ways my ways. We have to remember that. If we can connect to God's ways and God's thoughts, it's much better than our little pea brains that we have. Now, God did give us brains, but we should continually connect them to God. How committed are we to altering matters in our lives? Determination to overcoming selfishness to convince us that we deserve something in order to acquire momentary happiness and bliss. Sulking, if we don't get it, sulking will be the ultimate outcome if those selfish demands are not fulfilled. More importantly, the goal is to please God in everything we do. But when God is numero uno in our lives, to please God isn't difficult at all. Selfishness always has a hook to snag us without any blessing. But when God sends forth a blessing, it never has a sinister hidden agenda, only a bountiful dividend. See, that is the wonderful thing about God. God will never do anything to counteract His love. Selfishness will keep on teasing and tantalizing us with many allurements as we are drawn to those like stalls at the fair to win that ultimate prize or whatever it is. That selfishness and the allurements and that temptation will there. And it can be material, it can be spiritual, or it can even be sensual. Avarice makes everything look glittery and beautiful, but always keep in mind there's an allegorical mousetrap behind every scheme of temptation. Ever had your fingers almost in a mousetrap? It hurts, doesn't it? And all that. God knows how to take care of needs and to bless people beyond their wildest dreams. But selfishness must be eliminated by placing God first in every area of our lives. It should also always be remembered that to trade God's grace for a moment of temptation could be damaging forever. See, grace is free. So why are we trying to go out and buy pleasure and happiness when we can have God's grace for nothing? It was paid for by Jesus Christ, but still yet, it's free to us. So, let me say this. So get an attitude adjustment. You may meet some people this week needs an attitude adjustment. We all probably meet some. I know I will because I'm preaching the sermon. Somebody will come up to me with an attitude. No, I don't put my fist together and hit them. No, that's not the solution to anything like that. But that moment of temptation can be damaging forever. Joy and peace is a much better consolation prize. That is truly a solid connection with God, which results in eternal beneficial ramifications. Shall we pray? Loving God, we all fall short. None of us are perfect in this sanctuary. But as we know that your ways are much superior to our ways, and your thoughts are much better than ours, we pray, O Lord, that we connect with your thoughts and with your ways. Help us, O Lord, when we do fall short. But we're only flesh and blood, and we need you all the time. Help us not be judging or condemning of others. May we work on our own selves, and what we need most of all is to recognize your love. Help us every day, O Lord, every minute, in fact, that we live on this earth. This we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen.